Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. At fundraising time, God's attention may well go to that person with only $5 to their name. That gift might mean much more to the Lord than the $5,000 given by a rich man. Today, a story in the Bible that proves that very point. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on investing for eternity. Turn with us to Mark chapter 12 as Erwin Lutzer comes now to talk about when giving less is more.
So, my friend, today, what is in your wallet? What is in your wallet? There is a story about a man who was recovering from a heart attack, and the doctor warned the family that during his recovery period, above all else, he should not be told anything that would make him get excited, because if that were to happen, he might just drop dead and be gone. But while he was recovering, the family discovered that a rich uncle died and left this man $1 million. They didn't want to tell him that because that might get him too excited. So they did a wise thing. They asked their pastor and they said, "Pastor, we wonder if you would go and break the news to him." Because after all, pastors have so much wisdom in human relations. Why wouldn't they ask a pastor to do that? So the pastor thought about it and very wisely said to the man, he said, "You know, just speaking theoretically, what would you do if you were to inherit $1 million? And the man said, "Why, pastor," he said, "if I were to inherit $1 million, he said, "I promise," he said, "I'd give half of it to the church." And just like that, the pastor died of a heart attack. Why is it that the subject of money is so sensitive? For a couple of reasons, some of which may be good. One thing is very clear in the Bible, and that is that money is always presented as that which gives God most competition in our lives, for our loyalty, for our commitment, and for our security. Because when you stop to think about it, money makes all of the same promises that God does. Money says, "I will be with you during hard times, I'll be with you when times are rough. I'll be with you when Medicare works and when it doesn't. I'll be there when you are sick and when you are well. I'll be there to feed you, to clothe you, to give you an inheritance so that you can have a wonderful retirement." Money makes all of those same promises that God does. And because of that, it competes with our loyalties as perhaps nothing else. Money represents the energy of our lives compressed. It reveals our hearts. By nature, we don't like to be probed when it comes to money. We've all been to the doctor, and at times a doctor will sit you down and begin to poke around. What he's trying to do is to find where there is some pain. And in the very same way, sometimes God pokes around in our life, and the subject of money does it. Perhaps that's why Jesus told one half of his parables, nearly one half, all had to do with money. It's because of the sensitivity of it. Pastor was telling his congregation, "Now we're going to take an offering, and I want you to give until it hurts." And somebody whispered to his friend, "I have a very, very low threshold for pain." Why is it so sensitive? Of course, many people are going through times of difficulty regarding money during this economy. One of the leaders of our TMC community, and TMC stands for the Moody Church, one of our communities, he asked the people to write down how the present economic situation impacts them, and he shared with us at the executive committee some of the findings. Very interesting. Somebody said, "There is nothing in my wallet, and I have bills to pay." Somebody else said, "I've been looking for work for 6 months and have not been able to find any and don't know where to turn." And then I'm interested in this remark. I think it was given by a woman. She said, "I run to panic and I forget God's faithfulness." She said, "I know that God is faithful, but I run to panic and forget his faithfulness." The purpose of this message is not only for us to understand how Jesus viewed giving, though this series of messages, Investing for Eternity, is that. It's also intended to bring comfort and hope to those of you who are struggling financially. It is designed to increase your faith. I want you to leave here today with hearts that are filled with praise, no matter what the future holds. So in the end, we trust that under the leadership of the Spirit, that will be accomplished. The story is a very interesting one. It's found in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 12, page 849, if you have a Bible that you can pick up there in the rack in front of you. Page 849. It is Mark chapter 12, and it is a story that is embedded in the Scriptures during the last days of Jesus before the triumphal entry and his death on the cross. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and in Mark chapter 12, I'm picking it up at verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Wow. What I want us to do in the next few moments is to take three portraits of Jesus. Three portraits of Jesus. I want you to use your imaginations and visualize Jesus there at the treasury. In order to help you to do that, keep in mind that in the temple area, in one of the courts, there were a number of offering boxes. They didn't have offering envelopes like we do, where you put on, where you prefer to give. They had various options there in the temple area. But these offering boxes were built like a trumpet. They were receptacles where you could throw in your money, and then you would hear it as it zang along or zinged along, if I can put it that way, and then landed in the box. These offering boxes, or particularly the receptacles, which looked like horns, they were sometimes referred to as trumpets. When Jesus said in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, when he says, "When you give your alms, do not blow a trumpet before you as the heathen and the scribes and the Pharisees do." I used to read that as a child, and I thought, they got up and they'd actually blow a trumpet. That's not what is referred to. These offering boxes, these receptacles, were referred to as trumpets. And what the rich would do, what they would do is to take their offering and put it into the smallest denominations possible so that they had lots of coins. And they would do one of two things. Either they would stand there putting in one coin at a time, taking their time so that the people behind them had to wait. So you almost got the impression it was like standing in a post office when the person ahead of you is trying to mail a package to Darfur. And you could become impatient, but the people behind them would say, "Oh, they are really spiritual. Look at how much they are giving." That's one thing they did. The other thing was the opposite. They would take all of these small coins and they would throw them into this receptacle all at once. And these people were actually referred to as zingers, because you would hear this clang as their offering went through the receptacle, through the horn, into the box. And that was called blowing your trumpet. So when Jesus said, "Don't blow your trumpet," what he was saying is, don't be like the self-righteous Pharisees who love to give when people see them give and make sure that others see them give. Don't be that way. First portrait of Jesus, where he sat. He sat over against the treasury, verse 41, and watched the people putting money into the offering box. He sat there purposefully to watch what was going on. He wanted to see what was happening. Now, they didn't recognize him, I'm sure. He was just simply walking along, and he sat down, and as far as the people knew, he was simply tired, but he was watching what was happening as the people were bringing their gifts into the treasury. You say, well, does Jesus do that all the time? Does he watch? The answer, of course, is yes. Now, of course, when we think of the fact that we have a watching God, Jesus in heaven today, exalted above all principalities, above all powers, watching us intently, day by day, moment by moment, not only what we give, but what we're thinking and why we give and doing that evaluation, that can be scary, but it can also be very comforting. Some of you who lost your job, some of you who don't know where your next dollar is going to come in, and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, could I say to you today that your Father in heaven is watching and he knows. He knows. Jesus said, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground, but that sparrow is watched by my heavenly Father and is seen falling to the ground. And then Jesus said, are you of not much more value than they? And the answer is, of course, there's no way to compare it. Of course, if he watches the sparrow fall, of course he knows your needs, dear widow, dear single person, dear couple, and you don't know where to go because you received a pink slip this past week. Does not your heavenly Father know? And the answer is yes. Of course he knows. Like Ethel Waters used to sing at the Billy Graham Crusades way back in the 50s and perhaps the 60s, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Of course he's watching. And he saw this morning as the offering baskets were passed at the Moody Church and all the other churches in the world, he watched, he saw you let it go by. He saw what you put in, what you wished you would have put in, what you could have put in but didn't. I mean, he sees all that. Every once in a while, you meet a Christian who says something like this, whatever I give is my business and nobody else's business. Well, I'm here to inform you that Jesus also makes it his business. He sits over against the treasury and watches what we put in and what we keep to ourselves. Wow, that's where Jesus sat. Yes, my friend, very sobering, isn't it, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ watches what we give. As I conclude today, I want to emphasize that think of some ministry, some missionary, some great work, and I encourage you to give to that work. Even the radio station that you are listening to needs your funding. And I encourage you to be generous. Networks like BBN, the Bible Broadcasting Network, that carries these programs are worthy of our support and our partnership. Thanks again for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you next time right here on Running to Win.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer has introduced When Giving Less is More, another message in a series on investing for eternity. Next time on Running to Win, why we cannot escape the gaze of God, who is always watching what we give. All four messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.